here. It's just a lot of fun to hang out with friends of yours in the ministry who love the Lord and want to serve God and want to see God do something great in their life. And I believe that is where we're at tonight. Amen. We've got a group of people here who want to see God do something big in their lives. And let me just say this. God wants nothing more than to see something happen great in your life. As a matter of fact, He wants it worse than you do. That's a good problem to have right there, isn't it? And so that's just an exciting truth that if you could understand that God wants to do something with you more than you do, man, it'll change your life. And excited. We've had a great week. I appreciate everything. All the stuff that you've done for us has been just fantastic, phenomenal. And we love this church. My kids love it. They love coming up here. They work during Christmas break in school to get everything done so they can come on this trip. Amen? That's all exciting. And we have a video school so they can work ahead a little bit. And so they do a lot of stuff to get ready and go. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Open your Bibles there if you would. And I'm going to get to the preaching tonight. I sure appreciate you being here tonight. And sometimes as a preacher, I don't know. I Brother Larry, there's few times where I get done with a sermon and walk away and say, and it's obvious, God did something. Do you hear what I said? Very few times. I have been in meetings like that. I've seen God move and I've seen altars filled and people crying and it's obvious the Holy Spirit did something. But for a preacher, there are very few times when that happens. A lot of times I leave wondering what happened. That's just being completely honest with you as a pastor. Your pastor feels the same way. And so it is so good for us to hear testimonies. Honestly, those testimonies tonight helped me tremendously because, again, we gauge what happened in a meeting by what someone says. And if I can't see in your heart, I don't know what's going on there. And so for me to hear you say, the Lord moved my heart, is a good thing. That helps me as a preacher and excited about it. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. I want to preach a sermon. This is a pastoral message. Again, it's not everybody jump up and down and get excited, but I believe it'll help us tonight. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 1. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. You're going to have to stay with me too and pay attention, but you'll get the message as we go through it. Look at verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Jesus is still speaking here. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, notice this, ready? Forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt, ready? Forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Is that a strange request to you after what he just said in the first four verses? Increase our faith. Let's finish the verse here. Look what it says in verse number 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse number 7, he goes on to a totally different subject. But those first six verses are somewhat perplexing. And we're going to talk to you tonight about the subject, increase our faith. Father, we love you. Thank you for all you do for us. Bless the message tonight. Help me to preach it with power. Help it to help us. May it help me tonight. May I see something, Lord, that I haven't seen yet. And Lord, may it Change us tonight. Bless us now. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The topic of Christ's conversation in Luke chapter 17 with his disciples was what? Class? What was the topic of the first several verses in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5? What was the topic? Forgiveness. Okay. Let me go on the opposite end of that. How about this word? Ready? Offense. Would you agree? He begins with the statement, it is impossible, impossible that offenses should come. That means this. God says this, I guarantee you, I promise you, it is going to happen. You are going to get, say it with me, ready? Offended. Is that right? Is that what he said? That's what he said. He said in verse number 1, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. It's going to happen. He's predicting it before it ever happens. You will get offended. In verse number 3, Christ teaches about the need to forgive these people who offend. The forgiver needs to forgive and the offender needs forgiveness. Do you hear what I just said? Don't you got to stay with me? Listen to this. The first few, the forgiver needs to forgive, and the offender needs forgiveness. It's going to happen. It's impossible. You will need forgiveness, and you will need to forgive someone. That's going to happen. It is an impossible for it not to happen, and so there will never be a shortage of people who need forgiveness. There will always be plenty of offense to go around. Verse number 4, Christ gives a command. He says, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice how the disciples respond to this in verse number 5. They're listening to what Jesus is saying. In verse number 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They're listening to him talking about being offended and forgiving people. And then on top of that, someone offending you 7 times in one day and forgiving them every time they offend you. What if it's the same thing 7 times in a row? Should we forgive them 7 times in a row? Same sin every time, should we forgive them? That's what he's saying here. That's the point he's trying to make here. The work of pardoning every offense of every man continually seems so difficult, don't miss this statement, seems so difficult even to the disciples themselves that they saw without an extraordinary degree of faith they should never be able to keep this command. They were so blown away, and when you think about it, when you put yourself into their shoes and you stop for a minute and you think of someone offending you 7 times in a day, you have a business, right? So 7 times in a day. Do you ever have someone that works for you, or you have an employee sometimes that works for you? So 7 times in a day, he steals from you. And 7 times you catch him. And 7 times you forgive him. Or was it the other F? Fire him. I don't know about what he's going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire the guy. He's out of here. I'll forgive him as long as he gets another job. Is that the way we think? And all of us, none of us, let me say this, would judge him for that. We would all say that was the right thing to do. Right? We all agree. But Christ says if he offends you 7 times a day, I want you to forgive him 7 times. Now, we're not going to debate tonight whether forgiveness means he keeps his job. That's not the issue. The issue is this, we're supposed to forgive 7 times. But as the disciples are listening to what he said, how hard would it be for humanity to forgive a person that much in a single day? And then how hard would it be to forgive everyone this way? Not only does he want you to forgive a certain person this way, but he wants to forgive everyone. He wants you to be a forgiver. The enormity of the task that Christ was asking of them in their minds demanded an increase in faith. They needed God to increase their faith, to believe that what Christ was telling them to forgive someone seven times in a day, they did not have the faith at this moment in time in their life to be able to accomplish that task. You sin against me, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Let me ask you a question. Could Christ forgive a person seven times in a day? He could. Listen to this now, and he did. I don't know how many times he had an opportunity to forgive someone. And so we find this difficulty, this task was very difficult. And why is that? Simply because we're grudge holders. We're judgmental. We have issues when people offend us and we mark them off and we say, I'm closing the door and shame on me, but I'll never let you do that to me again. Isn't that right? Isn't that our attitude? This was an impossible request by Christ of any human being in the flesh. And thus the disciples ask, increase our faith. Now, I want you to stop and I want to leave the story here just for a second. And I don't know how many times I hear somebody say, I just needed, Lord, increase my faith. Now, I'm going to stop and just ask you the question. What is it normally that we think we need an increase of faith for? The pastor's already on my train of thought. What is it? Let's first see if the church can get it. What is it normally that we need an increase of faith for? What? Money. Exactly. Anything else? Man, we get a big bill in the mail, and what do we say? We say, well, I guess the Lord's just trying to increase my faith, right? Huh? We lose our job and we say, well, I guess the Lord's just trying to increase my faith, right? Isn't that how we use it? Someone gets cancer and what do we think? This is what we tell the person that has cancer. God's going to use you to grow your faith and to help other people have stronger faith. Have you ever told anybody that? I have. That's not what Christ is talking about here. It's amazing to me that so many things in the Bible, Brother Larry, I had preconceived ideas about. And then when I actually read the verse and find out what it says around those verses, rather than taking it out of context and using it the way I want to use it, I find what the real truth behind the phrase is. Increase our faith. Why is it we need our faith increased? What is the purpose of increased faith? What is the answer that we most often believe and claim? You think about building a building, and I think of our situation where in our town there in Malvern, Arkansas, we needed a new building, and we were bursting at the seams. Praise God for that, and that's obviously Him and not us, but God had blessed us, and so we need a new building, and we began to pray and ask God to help us with this building, and things were falling into place, and we got about halfway through the building program. The walls were up. The insulation was in the walls. And all of a sudden we run out of money, dead in the water. And what does Brother Horton think? Well, the Lord's just trying to increase our faith. That's what I think. And through that process, man, people were fasting and praying, and God was we were trying to get a hold of God, and God did in a miraculous way. We got a check for $200,000. Great story. And amazing, but that's what we think. Money maybe to purchase a vehicle or maybe more people to come to church or healing our bodies. That's what we think when we think of, Lord, increase our faith. And there's nothing wrong with these increases of faith, but honestly, this is what we think of when we think of God increasing our faith. We think that God uses big problems to increase our faith because we don't have big faith for those things. We don't think God's going to do it. And we say it all the time, God's just trying to stretch our faith. I want to remind us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah 55, verse number 8. He does not think the way we think. His thoughts are different from ours. The disciples clearly saw the difficulty of forgiving a person seven times in a day. It is totally against human nature to forgive someone seven times in a day. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. You hurt me, I forgive you. You hurt me again, maybe I'll forgive you a second time. You hurt me a third time, man, I'm about to X you off. You're done. This was an impossible task to the disciples. The only way they could see themselves being able to forgive the way Christ wanted them to was if Christ were to increase the faith they had to believe that forgiving someone was the right thing to do, because it went against everything the flesh says we're supposed to do. The only way they could see themselves forgiving someone was for God to say, "Let me increase your faith." Amazing situation. We view the impossible task as miracles of the flesh, and we fail to see that the spiritual acts of Christ are much greater miracles than the physical ones. Think about this. We think the healing bodies, raising the dead. We think of all the big things, the blinded eyes and the lame and the leprosy. And we think those things, those are the big miracles. Those are the big things. That's what we need increased faith for. Not for the little spiritual things that Christ wants us to do, such as forgiving someone or having long suffering. Anyone can have long suffering, really. Maybe to love someone who's unlovable. It's easy to love a person who's lovable. It's hard to love someone who's unlovable. Huh? It's hard to love someone who smells. It's hard to love someone who's lazy. We have a man in our church. His name is Jerry. Jerry sits right here. Jerry's a black guy. Jerry's a little bit slow. We got a lot of slow people in our church. I'm one of them. Jerry sits right here. Jerry comes in at 15 after the hour, walks right down through everything, and sits down around the front row. He gets up about 5 minutes before the sermon's done and walks out, and I'll tease him. I'll say, "Jerry, where are you going?" "I gotta go pick up my daughter." "All right, Jerry, we'll see you next week." Okay, Pastor. "I'll see you next week, Pastor." That's Jerry. It's easy to love, as a pastor, the tither or the person who loves you and says something and maybe gives you a gift for your birthday or something, or Christmas. It's hard to love the Jerrys who comes by on a Saturday morning and says, "Give me something to eat. You need to take me McDonald's." I say, "Jerry, I ain't taking you McDonald's." He goes, "Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. You love me, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. You got to give me some food." That's what Jerry does. "All right, Jerry." I said, "I got a bunch of meetings to do, and then I'll if I have time, then maybe later. You got to wait here." He goes, "All right, I'm going to sit in your office." I'm like, "All right." My daughter made me feel guilty. I took him to a, he didn't want McDonald's, he wanted Burger King. So I took him to Burger King. Got him some sandwiches. And he said, "Pastor, you need to buy me some gloves. It's cold out there. It's cold. You got to buy me some gloves." And I said, "Jerry, I ain't buying you no gloves. I said, I buy you something to eat every Saturday." And he goes, "Come on, you got to buy me some gloves." And I don't buy him something to eat every Saturday. But so he wanted to go to the park, and he's going to eat his sandwich at the park. So I drop him off at the park. And the park's not too far from McDonald's. And my kids and I, we went over to McDonald's, and we were going to get some hamburgers and go to the house and eat them. And my daughter said, it is kind of cold out there." I was like, yeah. And he don't need gloves. He can put his hands in his pocket. He don't need gloves." And she goes, "Well, maybe he needs to use the gloves for something else. Maybe he really needs the gloves." I'm like, "Ashley, do you want to buy him gloves?" She goes, "I think it might be nice." It's like, all right. Go to the store. He told me where they're at. He told me that they're over at Family Dollar. And we went and bought him some gloves. We were in the McDonald's drive-thru. We had the gloves on us. And Jerry came walking by McDonald's. And Ashley and Anthony said, there's Jerry. I said, hey, go give him the gloves real quick. They went out, gave him the gloves. It's easy to love some people. It's hard to love other people. Why does God bless a church? Listen to me. There's a million different reasons God blesses a church. Compassion is only one of them. Loving the unlovable is only one of them. Goodness, mercy, kindness, joy, meekness, temperance. Maybe these are things that we need increases of faith for. These are the fruit of the spirits. Forgiveness is one of them. Christ restoring the sight of Bartimaeus or calling Judas his friend when he came to betray him is more impressive, sadly, to human beings. We're more impressed with Jesus Christ raising the dead or healing blind Bartimaeus' eyes, or we're more impressed with that than we are Jesus kissing Judas when Judas comes to him. Man, and Judas places that kiss of betrayal on his cheek. And Jesus saying, where have you been, friend? In the flesh, that was more of a miracle than healing the blind eyes. Friend, where have you been? Listen to me. You wouldn't call him friend. You may. I wouldn't call him friend. He already knew he was the one betraying him, didn't he not? If we knew this girl was stabbing us in the back, we wouldn't be acting like her friend, would we? Huh? We'd be pulling the knife out, getting ready to fight. Isn't that right? Impossible task. Lord, man, you want me to forgive someone 7 times in a day? That seems like an impossible task. I don't know that I can do that. Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, or forgiving those disciples who forsook him and denied him when the soldiers came and took Jesus away. Remember when Peter was warming his hands with a fire and Jesus gave that look to Peter as he denied him the third time, the cock crew, and Jesus is over there looking at Peter and their eyes catch, and Peter leaves and runs out and weeps bitterly. Why? Because he knew that look of forgiveness. He had seen it before.
Amen.
He had seen it for... He knew what Christ was saying with those eyes. He was saying two things. I told you so, and I still love you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
We are so much more impressed with miracles of the flesh. Human nature is so selfish, prideful, and petty, glory-seeking that we underestimate our need for the power of God to forgive people and to love them. Think about this. We think that only we only need God's power for getting healed or building a building or preaching a great sermon or forgiving your family member. It's actually for Christ to give us an increase of faith to forgive our family members and to forgive our friends and to hold our tongue. You know what you need an increase of faith? Or to be able to be careful about what you say. That's why we need an increase of faith. That's why I need to have the faith that God... You know why we don't hold our tongue? Because we think what we're thinking needs to be said right now. But why don't we have the faith that God will take care of whatever you're stewing about on His own? Don't you think the Holy Spirit can speak to that person better than you can? Don't it would be more powerful coming from the Holy Spirit than from you? My wife's the volleyball coach at our church. We were in a missions conference this past end of October, beginning of November. And a man who is a good man, but he believes he's a very spiritual man. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's very obvious by the way he wants me to use him in certain things and wants me to have him do. He came to my wife right before the service, and he said he wanted to talk to both of us. I said, here's my wife right here. And I began to leave, and he said, no, I need to say this before both of you. I said, okay. We shut the door. We were in a classroom to the side. This is 5 minutes before the service is going to begin. And he says, I've got a problem. I'm really angry at you. And he's talking to my wife. And he says, the reason I'm angry at you is because you won't let my daughter be on the starting team on the volleyball team. And I was like, oh, is that it? Yes. And I tell you what, I'm sitting in the service looking across there more. I'm having a difficult time. Look at this. You know what he needed an increase of faith for? To forgive us without even talking to us about it. He could have mentioned that to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit could have mentioned that to her, and he would have never had to get involved. But now, when we see him coming, you know what we think? What's he going to say this time? Why? Because he has a problem. So what's the problem? He can't hold his tongue. Probably shouldn't put this online. Probably online right now, isn't it? It's already going out there. Hello. I do love you, but this needs to change. Okay. I don't think they'll ever watch it, but, you know, just in case. Oops. Poor Jerry. Jerry won't watch it. Don't worry. Jerry's fine. Jerry's not the one I'm worried about. Christ wants to increase your faith so that you see the eternal value in forgiving those who offend you. Seven times every day. That's what Christ is looking for. Don't believe me? Okay. Remember the request. Let's go back to the request. Lord, increase my faith, right? That was a request? Wasn't that the request? Okay, now think about this. This is the verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Let's read it. Ready? Verse number 6. Look what he says. And the Lord said, okay, verse number 5, they just said, Lord, increase our faith. This is his answer in verse 6. Look what he says in verse 6. He said, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse 7, he drops the subject. Let me ask you a question. Did he answer them? Oh, let me say it this way. Did he give them the answer they were looking for? Okay, let's think about this. Number one, first of all, Christ did not tell them how to increase their faith. Lord, increase our faith. And he said, well, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, very tiny, you could say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up, and I want you in the sea, and it would walk over to the sea and get in it. Okay, so number one, he did not tell them how to increase their faith. Number two, think about this. Christ simply gave them a human impossibility. Do you get that? A human impossibility. To compare the size of faith they already possessed. Did you hear what I said? Christ didn't tell them how to increase their faith. Instead, he gives them a human impossibility. Anybody here told a tree lately to get up and move into the sea? Anybody here? And it obey you? That means this. Then your faith is smaller than the grain of a mustard seed. And what was Christ saying to those disciples? He was saying, let me just tell you about faith, fellas. You want an increase of faith? If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he's saying, you're so far away from faith, you can't even tell a tree to get up and move. said, if you had that much faith, that tree would obey you. Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because there is no way I can forgive a guy seven times a day for the same thing. In Matthew, Christ gives the comparison of a small amount of faith, the size of a mustard seed, to the ability to command a mountain to be removed and it obeying him. The mistake that we have made in Christianity is that we have lowered the truly miraculous events such as forgiveness, love, and eternal salvation. Things that Christ is impressed with. And we have raised those fleshly things that are not as miraculous to Christ, such as healing the body and raising the dead, things that we're impressed with. What Christ is impressed with is humanity forgiving each other and loving each other. That's what impresses Christ. What impresses Christ is for you to hold your tongue. That's what impresses Christ. Matter of fact, he says a wise man or a fool when he holds his tongue is counted wise. I didn't quote it correctly, but you know what I'm talking about. Even a fool when he holds his tongue. What Christ is, Christ is impressed with a fool holding his tongue. What impresses Christ is when you and I live and walk in the Spirit. That's what impresses Christ. What impresses Christ is when we say no to the flesh. What impresses Christ is those things that we consider menial, and so we never tackle them. Who cares if I gossip? Gossip's not that big of a deal. I'm just going to tell sister so-and-so. It's no big deal. And Christ says, that's your problem. That's your problem. You've got it flipped. To you, the big things are what I consider the little things. And to you, the little things are what I consider the big things. I have 3 points if you want them. A faith that will forgive the world of their sin. That's what Christ is looking for. A faith that will die on a cross for people who hate you. That's what Jesus Christ had. A faith that will love an ungrateful creation who denies your very existence. That's the type of faith you need. 3 statements about an increased faith that I think will help us. And I'll be done tonight. 3 statements. Ready? Number one, increased faith is for the purpose of responding in a spiritual way to sinful man. Increased faith is for the purpose of responding in a spiritual way to sinful man. Instead of cussing, you're hugging. Instead of being critical, you're loving them. Instead of tearing them down, you're uplifting them and trying to help them. Increased faith is for the right response from human beings to each other. That's what God wants to see. He wants to see us acting like Christ. Think about it. Increased faith for the purpose of responding spiritually to man in spite of how many times they've broken your trust. Think about this. It is no great feat to not trust a person who has broken your trust over and over again. That's no great feat. My son breaks my trust over and over again, over and over again, over and over, and I say to him, okay, I'm not going to trust you. That's no big deal. But for him to break my trust over and over and over and over, and me to say, I still trust you. That's Christ-likeness right there. I'm not saying be stupid about it, but I am saying this, I've got to love him the way Christ loves him. I've got to care for him the way Christ cares for him. Secondly, increased faith allows Christians to live in the power of the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. God wants His people to live in the power of the Spirit. Think about this. Do you live life in the Spirit? Do you walk in the Spirit? Do you live in the Spirit? Are you serious about the Spirit? Think about the fact that over and over again, we should walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us so many times that the just shall live by faith. We ought to live by faith. We ought to walk in the Spirit. The only way we'll be forgiving people is if we're walking in the Spirit when they offend us. I don't know how many times I've asked someone to forgive me. I don't know how many times. When I did nothing wrong. They think I did something wrong. But may I say, I'm not the one that was offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. Who has the problem? The person getting offended. If a person can get you rattled to the point of you're not forgiving them, who has the problem? They or you? Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend. Who becomes offended? It switches all of a sudden. And you become the person who's offended. And you become the person who begins to be judgmental. And we lose our compassion. We lose our love. We walk in the Spirit. God leads us and navigates us through that. And lastly, number 3. Increased faith is about trusting God enough to obey Him. Increased faith is about trusting God enough to obey Him. When the disciples asked Christ to increase their faith, Christ opened their eyes to their lack of faith. Increase our faith! And He said, well, let me just tell you that you don't even have any faith. You want an increase of faith? How about you get some faith first? You can't get much more than a grain of mustard seed. Christ is saying, wait, oh, time out, guys. You're telling me you have faith? A person who walks by faith, listen to this now, lives in the Spirit. You know it. You see it. They forgive. They're ready to forgive. They anticipate forgiving. You can't offend them because they love God's Word and they want to live by faith. A person who lives by faith anticipates people being offended. They're ready and offending. They're ready for it. Man, they're okay with forgiving. There might be people here tonight. There might be people that are not here tonight that have an issue, have been offended, have been offending, and needs us to get it right with them. For what reason? To increase faith. To increase faith, to learn and grow as a Christian, so that ultimately this church can grow to the glory of God. You know what an increase of faith would do in this community? You know what people would begin saying if they begin to see an increase in faith in this community? People forgiving each other and loving each other. People caring for each other. People not looking down on someone but looking eye to eye to them. People shaking a person's hand that maybe did them wrong and loving and caring about them and saying, I forgive you and I love you and I care for you and would you forgive me and let's get this behind us and let's move on. What would that do if a church would begin to live like Christ? In an increase of faith, what would that do? What would that do? Look at me. That would change a community. People would see it. People would believe it because they see it. They don't believe it right now because they don't see it as much. And I'm not saying necessarily in this church, but I'm saying in Christianity all over America. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not indicting this church alone. We have our problems in our church too. Same thing. And sadly, many times, there's only a few who ask that question, Brother Larry, down at the altar. Lord, okay, I want my faith increased. And God says, okay, let me tell you how to do it. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live in faith. That's all he needs. That's what he's looking for. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're saying, man, I need to live like a Christian. I need to walk in faith. There's someone I need to forgive. There's someone I need to ask forgiveness of. Maybe you've been bitter. There's someone in your past that you cannot forgive. Maybe tonight's the night for you to call them on the phone or tomorrow, the next couple of days, and say, you know what? I need to just let you know that I love you and I forgive you. And let's get this behind us. Father, we love you tonight. A simple message tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd bless us, Lord. Lord, may we be a church that would live in that increased faith. Lord, may we be a church that would understand what it means when those disciples asked, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus didn't even tell them how to increase their faith. He just said, you don't even have faith. Why don't you start by forgiving people 7 times?